Reading from St. Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and that moment heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Look was an American magazine published from 1937 to 1971. It had more emphasis on pictures than words compared to other magazines. It's interesting that the internet has again taken us the way of pictures over words, emphasizing short tweets and YouTube videos. Today, I want you to look at pictures and hear words. Look at what's not there. Any artist would tell you that what he doesn't put in a painting is significant. Bible translations leave things out as well. And when they do, emphasis is changed or lost, and sometimes so is meaning. Look at what's not in the first sentence of the third paragraph. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. Compare that to the ESV. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. Our NIV insert leaves out that the heavens were open to him, to Jesus. The heavens were not open to John. They were not open to the crowd. They were not open to you or to me, but to Jesus. To him is not the only thing left out of our text. Look at what else is. Two times the word "behold" is left out. The insert reads, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" The ESV reads, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" The Greek word the ESV translates "behold" can even be translated with our vernacular "look." By leaving it out, the insert loses the amazement, the excitement, the awe that the Holy Spirit has put there in the text. Look, the heavens open. Look, the Father speaks from heaven. Look, two Old Testament prayers are finally answered. Psalm 144:5, "Part your heavens, O Lord, and come down." And Isaiah 64:1, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Isaiah uses the same Greek word for "open" that Matthew does in our text. That means tear asunder, rip open. And when God finally does open heaven, look how he comes out in the form of a dove. Nobody's afraid of a dove. Look, God at last speaks from heaven. The last time I find God speaking directly from heaven is when he came down to Mount Sinai in thick smoke, earthquakes, thunder, and lightning. Then the people begged God not to speak directly with them lest they die. But look, he speaks here, and there is no smoke, no thunder, no lightning, or quaking of earth or people. As in art, so in scripture, what is present is more important than what is absent. So look at what is here. A disagreement between John and Jesus. A disagreement between the herald and his king. A disagreement between the creature and the creator. A disagreement between the one who is not fit to untie the sandals of the other. You ought to be taking John's side in this beef, or you don't get what's going on. Luther did, and he said, "How marvelously backward this is." It's backward in just the way John says. He needed to be baptized by Jesus. John has sins to repent and confess. What sins does the Holy One of God have to repent and confess? So holy, so pure, so unburdened by sin is Jesus that when he walks into water, he doesn't sink, but walks right on top of it. But not you, not me, not John, right? So unholy, so dirty, so weighted down with sins, we sink beneath the waves like a stone. And these are the sins that Jesus stands in the waters of the Jordan repenting and confessing. Yours, not his. Look, today Jesus enters the office of sin bearer. He's the last Passover lamb who really does carry away the sins of the world. Look at what else is here. The fulfillment of all righteousness. Not some, not most, but all righteousness is fulfilled by John baptizing the sinless Son of God with the dirty waters of Jordan. When that sense of sinfulness, that sense of dirtiness, that sense of smelliness comes upon you because of sins, as it rightfully should when you have failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, as it rightfully should when you've used the Lord's name carelessly, as it rightfully should when you failed to hold preaching and God's word sacred and holy, when your sins stink to high heaven, come here. At the baptism of Jesus, all righteousness is fulfilled in this way. Jesus came out of his baptism covered with the sins of the world, so you come out of yours clean, forgiven, covered with his holiness. Look at what is here. The Spirit of God descends out of an open heaven, not as a screeching eagle, not as a death-sniffing vulture, not as an avenging angel, but as a gentle dove. But look, the dove of the Spirit lands, and not in a tree, but on a man. We marvel when a bird trainer has a bird swoop out of the sky to land on his arm, because that's not natural. Well, it's not natural, it's not normal, it's not expected that the holy dove of the third person of the Trinity should land on a man. He can and does land on this man because this flesh and blood man is holy, is righteous, is deserving of all the gifts the Holy Spirit has to give. We've looked at what is not here in our text. We've looked at what is here in our text. It remains to look at what is here because of what is there. The first thing that is here is the most obvious. What is here is sanctified, sanitized, divine water in our font because of what happened to Jesus at the Jordan. Luther said that Jesus, touching water with his holy body, sanctified baptism and filled it with blessing. In another place he said, the water which is poured in baptism is not the water given by God as the Creator, but given by God the Savior. Jesus' baptism gave him our sins. All the guilt, shame, and blame that comes with your sins was carried by Jesus up out of the Jordan, and there was only one place they could be paid for, damned for, and died for. That was under the wrath of God, under the curse of God, under the judgment of God. And so, it was laden with the sins of all mankind that Jesus went to the cross to suffer God's just wrath, curse, and judgment against the world's sins. And he did till it was finished. The Father's wrath satisfied, the curse removed, and judgment carried out against your sins. Jesus' baptism gave him your sins. Your baptism gives you his forgiveness and life everlasting. Imagine if there were a doctor who was able to prevent people from dying, and even if they did die, he could restore them to life to live forever. How the world would rush to him and snow and rain money upon him. Because of the pressing crowd of the rich, no one else could get near this doctor. But here in baptism, there is brought to every person's door just such a priceless medicine that swallows up death and saves the lives of men. And it's free. It's free. So that even an infant like William here can afford it. It's free because Jesus bought and paid for it. Look at what is here because of what is there. The Father declared out of an open heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This could be another one of those things that is left out. The Father actually says, "In him I am well pleased." Outside of Jesus, God is not pleased with me, with you, with anyone. Inside of Jesus, God is well pleased. Insofar as you don't confess a sin or sins, defend a sin or sins, accept a sin or sins, you are outside of Jesus. Then you, not him, answer for it or for them. But the life of the baptized is one of constant repentance, constantly throwing all that we are and are not in the rubbish pile of sin, saying, "I don't want to be anything that God doesn't want me to be." The life of the baptized is not only one of constant repentance, but one of constantly hearing that the Father is well pleased with you in Jesus. I read a true story about a school teacher who died, whose her students were talking at her funeral. These were students who struggled with either grades, problems, emotions, bullies. They all had turnarounds in her class. They came to find out that each one of them had been told privately by this teacher, "You know, you're my favorite student. Behold the power of love." The Father tells each of us in Jesus' name, "You know, you're the one I'm pleased with the most." Look at what is here in this house of God today because of what was there in the Jordan 2,000 years ago. Life-giving waters that are rich in grace are here. The pleasure of God the Father in Jesus' name are here. And an open heaven is here. I teach confirmation kids that the physical church building is not a portal. It's not a wormhole. It's not a looking glass that automatically delivers you to the realm of God. But here, heaven is open to sinners through God's word and sacraments that are here. Heaven is so wide open that not only does the Father speak here from this pulpit, from this lectern, from this altar, it's so wide open that not only does the Spirit descend here on sinful mankind, it's so wide open that not only does the Son come here bodily, but all of heaven does. It's so wide open here. Not for nothing, as the church from the very beginning confessed that communion is celebrated not with angels, with archangels, and with all the company of heaven. Not for nothing were churches designed once with half-circle communion rails. The church on earth assembled on one side of the half-circle, the church in heaven gathered round the other. When God touches water, things happen. He hovered over the face of it, and creation happened. He stepped into it when the Old Testament church entered the promised land and the flood waters stopped. He stepped into it in his baptism and recreation began flowing from water. Look, I'm telling you, the baptism of Jesus is such a big deal, pictures cannot do it justice. You need the word for that. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.